What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hugely hello, everybody. And yes, that's right. We are back with one of our director roundtable specials. This time, the subject of the episode is the so-called great J.J. Abrams. Talking about does he stink now? There was a poll put up during the chat, which for the second time in a row, I have forgotten to check the chat when it comes to, the poll results. Because I'm too busy with the show. So there you go. J.J. Abrams has a strange career in that he's this huge name, but has been quite averagely successful, yet he still is considered like some big Hollywood player, which I don't really know why. But we get into that, of course, today with the great Liam McElhinney joins us. We have the lovely Christian Blatt joins us. And, of course, Phil Marks returns once again to discuss whether or not J.J. Abrams stinks. So what we did with this film is, obviously we live streamed it on YouTube. There was a paywall. Well, not paywall. Fucking, yeah, you know what I did say, paywall. We put it behind the membership tier because recently we've been putting out a few episodes for free on YouTube. But this one we're going to put it behind the membership tier on YouTube. So if you go to Huge Entertainment on YouTube and you want to see us lovely lads, that's where you will see us behind the scenes rolling our eyes at each other and regretting to doing this episode. While you're there, subscribe to the channel, hit like, leave comments on whatever the stuff you see. It's all great stuff. And then of course I'm at the Hugey on Twitter, at the Hugey on Instagram. And I think that's about everything. J.J. Abrams is kind of, I would say, infamous. I don't know if that's even the right term. For the awkward crowbarring in of sabotage by the Beastie Boys into his films. So what we're going to do during this episode is we're going to give you, that's right, a soundtrack of the Beastie Boys. In fact, you know what? We're not going to do that. I've decided against doing any Beastie Boys music in this one because I just remember we played a lot of clips and audio drops, so I don't want you missing out on the hilarity of the exact same joke being told over and over and over again for 1 hour of laughter. So do you agree with our takes on J.J. Abrams? Do you have a different opinion? Well, tweet Liam and not me, because I don't care anymore. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to go straight into the ad. And it is, we say hello Phil, hello Liam, and especially hello Jennifer Blatt's husband Christian. Hello.
Hughie stumbled through the door, glassy eyes and wanted more. Whiskey breath that screamed out loud, in the bar he was the crowd. Stories flying off his tongue, songs of battles lost. Hughie swings and Hughie sways.
That's right, guys. But seriously, let's press record. And we are going to be joined, of course, first by the guy who just told me that hilarious homophobic joke. Liam, what is up today, dude bro?
What's happening, brother? How you doing? How was Oasis?
Just dude broing it up, and you know what that means, don't you?
What's that?
Means this. If you would like to put your baseball cap on backwards, that would help. But of course, when we're talking about dude bros, we're talking about the broiest dude that I've ever duded up. Dude bro Phil, what is up, dude bro?
Dude bro, it's like I'm totally duding and broing right now.
This guy is such a dude. I can't believe this, bro. And you know what, Phil? This is what I say about dude bros. Go!
Mini-mini-mini-metal.
Yes, I love that song. That's a good song with great lyrics. And of course, you want to talk about men's men. One of the dudiest bros that I've ever heard of in my life. I've heard that the dude bro stories about this guy have had to be toned down because he's so wild. What's up, dude bro Christian?
I'm such a dude bro. I literally just finished jacking off to a picture of a chick.
Jesus, that is so metal. Yeah. So what the fuck happened there? But anyway, so what we're here to do today is, of course, the beautiful and talented J.J. Abrams, a guy who was once considered interesting, and then not so much. I was just reading that he signed a $250 contract with Warner Brothers, and in that 5 years where he was paid $250 million, he produced one TV show that was canceled after 8 episodes. So this guy is the king of the grift. And speaking of the grift, I just had to replace my home cinema once again. I blew up the bulb and will not explain how. So to help me cover that little £70 debt for a new bulb, super chat and become a member and donate money and sell cars and steal for me and give me property, and give me deeds, send me your bank details, everything you need. And, of course, there's a poll for people to enjoy in the free chat. It's, does J.J. Abrams stink, yes or no? Which I think are two pretty good options to give for a question like that. Right, guys? We'll start with Liam on that question.
I think J.J. Abrams is great. I just think I haven't seen him. What's he produced or... You know, you were right about the Warner Brothers thing. That was the funniest thing about the David Zaslav Warner Brothers takeover was the first thing he did was start a publicity campaign to smear J.J. Abrams and kick him off of the Warner Brothers lot.
That's what I would do. Christian.
Yes, sir.
What about this, though?
Come, my lady. Come, my lady.
I just finished telling you I was just coming, my lady, a moment ago. So J.J. Abrams, I think, was, early 2000s wunderkind. I mean, he wrote an amazing script, that film regarding Henry with Harrison Ford, where he loses his memory and he has to relearn, you know, how to be a human. That's kind of his first thing before even Felicity, which I'm a dude, bro. So I never saw that. But I did watch Alias for the chicks. Yeah. And that was actually a pretty good show, I thought.
Yeah, there was some sweet whores on that fucking show.
By the way, I just got a text from Chad Zumach. He says you're using your soundboard too much.
Yeah, well, this is what I say to disco.
I'm going to sing a song for you. Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah. So, Phil, dude, bro?
Bro, he's totally a dude, dude.
Yeah. Like, that guy has some sweet fucking bitches in his fucking shows. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Oh, yeah, sweet like candy cane. Shout out Joyride reference.
Oh, fuck. I don't know what that means, but it sounds fucking awesome. Eh?
Hey. I will say, Carrie Fisher was a hot piece of ass, so you are 100% right.
Yeah, but only in the 2010s. I couldn't even look twice at her in the metal bikini in 1983, but she really grew into her face.
Metal bikini? What? No, I'm talking about...
She flies through space.
Yes. Yeah, when she was frozen in space. Yeah, and
exactly, Phil.
Yeah, she should be frozen in my kitchen if the dinner wasn't ready, right, bros?
Dude, bros.
Yeah, and see if you watch that Star Wars 3, Between Me and You, dudes, she had some sweet big fucking tits on her, right, guys? That's dude bro talk. So after the dude bro intro, I think that was some pretty good stuff.
Clip it.
Yeah, clip this, you dick.
Her name is Rio and she dances up my ass.
There you go. So what we're going to do is, oh, by the way, and you mentioned regarding Henry, where Harrison Ford played a guy that loses his memory and tries to act human. Well, that was released over here, known as The Making of Indiana Jones 5. Totally roasted him because I'm a dude, bro. That's what I fucking do. But hey, even better than that.
Dude bros, I'm sorry, but just being a dude, bros, congratulations to the new president of Ireland, Conor McGregor. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's totally.
I think I get my vote five times.
Yeah.
He's such a doodly bro. He graped a chick.
Yeah. Yeah. All I'm saying is. The guy's such a dude, bro, that he did it, got away with it, and he's still out to become president. Fuck yeah!
Oh, that's it?
We'll save it for the after dude bro party.
All right, fair enough.
So we are going to go through J.J. Abrams' dude bro catalog and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? All 6 of his films that he's made since 2006. This dude bro... It makes a movie and then hangs out with some hot chicks for a couple of years.
It is shocking as I was preparing for this and, worried that I only have an hour. I'm like, wait, he's only directed 6 movies. He obviously did a lot of television work. He did the pilot of Lost, which, right. Really, if you go right up until like the last season, that's actually, a very interesting show. They just didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So he's definitely done some great work. But shockingly, Husey, his first movie is Mission Impossible 3. And I don't know if it'll bore your audience, but do you know how that comes about, that he ends up doing Mission Impossible 3? It's a very dude bro story.
Yeah, some hot bitch with big tits. He was hanging out with her and Tom Cruise was like, dude, look at the tits on this fucking whore. And he goes, right, bro? I know, dude. And then he says, well, by the way, do you want to do Mission Impossible 3? And he goes, fuck yeah.
Well, I knew I didn't need to tell the story, so I'm glad you were able to.
Someone in Hollywood said, "Who's the second best director after Brian De Palma?" It's the guy who created Alias.
Yeah. So
I'm off the show.
Right. Well, just in case, I'll give the pretend story and I'll tell it quick. Just randomly, J.J. Abrams ends up on a flight next to Tom Cruise and they hit it off and he tells him about Alias, which he didn't know the show at all. So he sends him the entire series on DVD. Remember physical media, Husey? And he like loves the show. So he's like, would you like to make a Mission Impossible? And it's like a golden ticket for a director. Like, wait, I can stop doing television? Because remember, television used to be dog shit. It's cool now. But back then it was terrible.
And who did MI2? Who did MI2?
John Woo.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So then Abrams did that. And can I just shout out where he also, I'm looking here, he is credited as a writer for Joyride and Armageddon. I want to shout those flicks out, man. They rule. They're totally do bro.
Okay. I believe he did punch up work on Armageddon. I don't think he actually wrote the screenplay. He made it more awesome, Husey.
Yeah. He actually.
He's credited for co-writing Armageddon.
Oh, well, I was giving him too much credit. He's an even bigger bro than I thought. If he can co-write with Michael Bay, he's the broiest bro that ever broed.
Yeah, he actually had a deleted scene where Bruce Willis pistol whips the meteorite. And that would have been fucking sweet. So we will start with the 2006's Mission Impossible 3, which was the third one in the series. hence the title, Liam. And yeah. after me explaining that to you, Liam, what did you think of Mission Impossible 3?
I would say it is one of the 10 best Mission Impossible movies I've ever seen. it's the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman. So it's actually a really good one. Yeah. I think it's one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's like top five roles. I wish I was kidding. Like, he does excellent work in that movie.
That is the film that he was so brilliant in, that Philip Seymour Hoffman, and his performance was so good that everybody can now do an impression of Philip Seymour Hoffman because of that film. They go, "You have a wife. I'm going to find her, and I'm going to kill her, and I'm going to grab her by the milkers, bro."
Here's the thing, Yuzi. I never know if you're kidding or not, but Philip Seymour Hoffman is excellent in that movie.
He's phenomenal in this movie. Right. But no, Husey's never kidding. He's always just being Husey.
And I think MI3 is the first one with Simon Pegg in it as well.
Correct.
Hey, interesting trivia that Simon Pegg has mentioned since. He was a raging alcoholic at the time of that film, and he's actually drunk on screen.
I don't know why you're telling us that. He's Scottish. We know.
No, he's English, which makes it even worse.
Having a quick wank.
Well, at least he's not Irish. Am I right, guys?
Hey, fuck yeah. Phil, what did you think of Mission 3?
It was solid. I liked it better than 2, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I haven't seen all of the most recent ones. I think I'm maybe like 2 behind or maybe 1 behind. I don't know, as far as, because didn't like a new Mission Impossible just came out, right? Like,
yeah, earlier this summer. Yeah. They call the final installment, but we'll see.
Yeah. The very under marketed one that would make a lot of sense that you would know that Tom Cruise had a new film out a few months ago.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'll give it a. Three thumbs up, I guess, for me.
Where are you putting that third thumb, Phil?
I don't know.
Interesting thing is that supposedly behind the scenes, Tom Cruise had one of his schemes, part of an organization that he's a part of that is very nefarious. By that, of course, I'm talking about the
Muslims.
The Screen Actors Guild. I would have nothing bad to say about anything else that he's a part of. He wanted Scarlett Johansson for that role, and wanted her to pretend to be his girlfriend and build all the media stuff about it. But instead, she settled for a loser like Ryan Reynolds.
And now she's pretending to be Colin Joseph.
Yeah, look, times got hard for her, so obviously.
Right. Well, let's be honest. If you've seen her in that film, Underneath the Skin, she's got a hairy pussy, so who needs her? Christian, or should I say by your dude bro nickname here?
The Peachy Beachy Bum Daddy Dragon.
That's right. Christian, what did you think of Mission Impossible 3?
Well, when this came out, there were only 3, and it immediately was the second best in the franchise. There's some better ones since then. But no, I honestly thought this was great. They needed a little bit of a course correction after the John Woo one, which I still don't like. And I thought that this is like, yeah, this is what it should be. And it kind of really is the blueprint for the subsequent 7 films or whatever. But it's also, I would go so far as to say it is a great movie, period.
Well, time for my all-important opinion. I would actually go as far as to say that Mission 3 is the greatest action film ever made.
You mean that doesn't have Die Hard in the title?
That doesn't have directed by Zack Snyder in the credits.
Okay, thank you.
It's a second to Rebel Moon.
Yeah, no, that guy's the Dude Bro Award winner. I just think it's fucking amazing. Like, there is that one weird bit, which is a recurring theme in J.J. Abrams' films, where he will weirdly put a song in a film at a very awkward time where Ethan Hunt is running out of the MI6 building or whatever they're called at full force, and he's being chased and shot at, and We Are Family starts playing. And it's like there was no other song at all that would have fit that scene, but it had to be that banger with a couple of black chicks, a couple of black babes.
We are family.
Sister Sledge.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think JJ owed money to Sister Sledge, actually. So I think that was the only way to, make sure that he was due. He got what he was due.
You know it. So I thought that was brilliant, and that was enough for me to think, okay, JJ Abrams is a fucking genius. There's no way anything he can do will be wrong. And we then had to wait a whole 3 years for his next film, which was not only highly anticipated, but it was the first of a new reboot of a franchise that he was handed the keys to, Star Trek. Liam, what did you think of 2009 Star Trek? Yeah, cunt.
You know, it's funny. I actually saw it in Dublin, killing time one afternoon before a show. And
Pennsylvania?
I wish. Nowhere near that sophisticated. Dublin, Ireland, where they're going to elect Conor McGregor as the next president of their country. And I laugh at that. And I'm in a country that elected Donald Trump president twice.
Three times. Oh, yeah. The guy from Home Alone 2.
Was just going to say, he was great at Home Alone 2.
You guys are actually getting WrestleMania Hall of Famer. So please do not.
That's true.
But anyway, so I watched it. I enjoyed it. I'm going to give some spoilers. Did not enjoy the way that J.J. Abrams was like, the best way to tell a Star Trek story is to destroy everything that you love in the first 10 minutes, leave only Spock alive, and then proceed to make all the characters wrong and off model.
Yeah. For me, I remember really liking it, but I remember thinking, why did they call this Star Wars film Star Trek? because that's what he made. And I remember watching thinking, there's no way this guy would fuck up Star Trek if and when they offer it to him. And as always, I make the right decisions. That being said, I fucking loved this one. It's maybe not the best of its of the franchise, but I thought that this was brilliant. And visually, because I've got agoraphobia, I seen it on the IMAX, and that scene at the start where the giant ship comes after the tiny or the Enterprise, I had a full-on panic attack, but thankfully I had drugs on me.
God. I'm glad there's a happy ending to that story.
Oh, yeah. And plus, there was a great bit where someone is speaking to Uhura, and they accidentally call her Uhura, which I thought was...
Yeah.
Hey, Yo-Hoa, make the cunt get away from my desk.
What?
Phil, what did you think of 2009 Star Trek?
So I remember going to the theater and seeing it, and I wasn't the biggest Star Trek fan growing up, just in general. But I did like, I wasn't like a big hater on it either. But to me, it was cool. I just thought it was like a cool approach on the whole thing. I'm not like a Star Trek purist, so maybe my opinion on the entirety of the film doesn't count in the grand scheme of things, but I remember having a good time and enjoying the movie, but I never like went and rewatched it again, you know. So that's my take on it.
But you know, Phil, it's not that you're not a Star Trek purist that your opinion doesn't count. It's the fact that you're not white, which is why your opinion doesn't count.
Well, hey, I'm big. Hey, now I am a little bit, half, whatever.
But you smell so much.
Fiddle diddle with you wibbly wobblies.
I think I am a little bit of a Star Trek purist, and my opinion counts less than yours because I was the guy in the theater going, Spock has a girlfriend, right?
I thought Spock was cool and shit. I remember thinking like, wow, they modernized this. Like, I might get into Star Trek now, and then I just never really did. You know, I don't even think I've seen either of the. I think there's two sequels, right? I don't think I've seen either of those.
Well, we're going to be talking about one of them.
I'm
going to crowbar my way in here because I know that I have a very cool online persona and people are going to be shocked to hear this. But I grew up a bit of a nerd and was definitely a Trekkie. and I will let you know the preferred term is Trekker. And I loved Star Trek as a kid. And I also think that this movie is amazing. I think it's incredible. I think it definitely needed to somebody to put the paddles on it because the franchise was not doing well. There's a reason you go and do this. I think the casting is incredible. I think that everybody is great, you know, taking up those roles. Chris Pine, I didn't know before this, but he's very Kirk. Zachary Quinto was on that show Heroes, and he basically got the role because he was like, "Well, look at me," and they're like, "Yeah, you're right." I heard a rumor around Hollywood. Let me put it that way, that because he was a TV actor, if you were to look at the budget, the catering budget is a lot more than Zachary Quinto made on either of the first two of these films. He did not make a lot of money, is what I'm trying to say. But I think this movie is great. It's the only one I'll say it about because it has the Beastie Boys in it. Spoiler alert. The third one has the same Beastie Boys song in it, Sabotage. And I was like, okay, we did this. What are you doing? But this one's great. And I agree. I felt like, man, this guy knows how to put a new coat of paint on an old starship and get it up in the sky. He's never going to let us down.
Yeah. And just the dude brought up, you mentioned the third one, which we won't be spoken about. The hottest alien chick ever, and proof that a non-white woman would look better with white skin, right, guys?
The whiter the better.
Who did the third one then? Which ones did Abrams do?
Abrams did...
he does one and two. Is James Wan Star Trek Into Darkness?
Justin Lin, God, you're a racist. You think all Asian directors look the same?
But I'm surprised. You must have liked that one because what I said about it at the time, it was that movie really felt like Trek Fast, Trek Furious because there's like a dirt bike chase. There's all this like on the ground shit, and you're like, oh, this is not a Star Trek movie, but it was kind of fun.
More metal.
The third one is basically the creative meeting was let's do a third one. And shockingly, they haven't done one since. Just really good TV shows that everybody's watching.
One of them's good. One of the shows is really good. There's four other ones, but one of them is good.
She-Hulk?
Strange New Worlds is a great television series.
I will say Star Trek 3. I don't even remember the name of it, but
Into Darkness.
Beyond was garbage, but I was very excited because Quentin Tarantino was going to make the fourth one, and the entire cast were like, "Yeah, we were never going to do this. We were never going to do this again." But Tarantino wants to do it, and I think he got as far as assembling a writer's room, and they actually like hammered out a whole plot line for the movie. And then, you know, Tarantino is ADD, and he was already four movies ahead.
Yeah, but the problem is when he came in to do one, he realized, fuck, there's nothing I can completely steal from and pass off as my own. I guess I'll claim to write an original story instead. He's a fucking hack, and he's only made two good films.
I think he saw Zoe Saldana's feet and was like, oh no, I'm out. There's just something about it that didn't work for him. By the way, I know you don't look at the poor chat, but... Liam's friend KB was sniping us at one point. I don't think he is anymore, but I hope he comes back because I'm sure he's going to learn a lot.
Oh yeah, but just one Zoe Saldana note: if you watch the TV show Lioness, she shows her fart box quite a few times, I must say. Yeah. Just before we move on to the next one, we get a nice super chat here from Duke of Just Do It, $1.99. Ray DeVito stinks, can we all agree? Christian?
Although I don't know if stinks is a strong enough term. Liam, how do you describe Ray DeVito whenever we talk about him after we go to the movies? What's the word you use?
Hitting the head with a large steel beam when he was 10.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's what it is, yeah.
He was eating cereal and towards the face, held by his mom?
I would say he definitely wishes you well. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. And some people want to throw him down one.
Can we talk about Steel Toe now? Is that a...
Oh, we're good. And then Phil Radovito stinks. Would you agree?
P-U. Smelly.
P-U. Well, speaking of stinks, we now get into the next one. 2011. J.J. Abrams' first and only completely original film that he has made in his career.
I don't know if I'd use the word completely original, but I know what you're trying
shit,
to say.
Oh, shit. This guy's roasting them already.
Boom, roasted.
2008 Super 8, which, of course, also had the song Don't Bring Me Down by ELO crowbarred into the film for no reason other than J.J. Abrams likes ELO. Christian, what did you think of Super 8?
I really enjoyed this film, and I thought that he was able to show off. We get a lot. This is where I feel like we really get the lens flare, which we didn't talk about for his earlier films, but this is where he just kind of really leans into it. But it, look, it's very much in the vein of a Goonies or an E.T., and I thought that the young cast was the actors were cast well is what I'm trying to say. And I feel like that's something that I consistently find even when you look at his television work, you know? So I think that this was good. I enjoyed this. I didn't find it bad in any way. Did I love it? I think I've only seen it the one time in the theater, but I did.
Right.
I do remember being like, oh, that was good.
Well, you're wrong.
Okay.
Because,
can you say it with a lens flare, please?
I've seen it, and it stinks. It's basically when Jimmy, well, Liam is a notorious dance music fan. When they do the sustained beat for so long, and by the time they drop the bass, your drugs have already started to wear off, and you start to realize this music's kind of shit, no? And the fact that they made this film in 2011 and it's like 2 hours long, and to this day, there's no actual shot of the fucking creature. You never get to see what it actually looks like. That's so dumb. That's some fucking geek trying to steal from Jaws, but he doesn't realize we couldn't see the shark because they didn't have the fucking technology for it. This dickhead stole from Spielberg because he's a retard, not because he doesn't know where to fucking... At the rack, probably. It was a stupid idea, and he stinks. Liam?
Well, just before Liam jumps in, sorry. Remember our episode where we proved that M. Night Shyamalan stinks, and there's really no doubt about it? Signs is not a good movie, but showing us the alien is the biggest mistake that he made in that film. I kind of like not knowing. You know, that's why the X-Files worked. It's like, yeah, there's something going on, but we don't really know.
I don't know. I always thought that seeing the alien... at the kid's birthday party scene was an excuse to stop whacking off.
Remember, Elle Fanning was 10 in this movie, so be careful with what you say.
I know exactly what I said. Okay. Liam, what did you think of Super 8?
Well, first of all, not showing the monster is a great move, because just like in Christian's example, I saw the movie She-Devil, and as soon as we saw Roseanne Barr, the movie was just over. So... I will say...
You've been sitting on that joke for 30 years.
Yeah, you should see my notes.
It's right there in the back pocket.
I love that.
There's a little thing called improvisation, gentlemen. It's what gets
always
you
a firm, Liam. Life. Always a firm.
I
got fucking Del Close on the show here.
I actually have to gain some weight for that. That's a deep cut for you improv fans, but you improv fans are going to love it. I only saw a half hour of Super 8. I thought, because a half hour in, I was like, this reminds me of the movie Poltergeist, in that Steven Spielberg didn't direct this, but also he did. Because clearly every single camera move was just like, Abrams was like, all right, so what would Spielberg do next? Okay, he would do a slight push in here. To indicate that the characters are feeling slightly trapped now. And the more he did Spielberg moves, including the lens flares, the more I just couldn't stay in the story.
I forget to point out, I'm actually kind of offended that you claim to be an improv comic, and you made a Roseanne joke, a fat joke, without mentioning that if she was in Super 8, they would have to change the spelling of the title.
To Super 11 and a half?
No,
ATE. ATE.
I know. I was just
or it would be SOUP.
They would have had to shoot it on 16 millimeter.
It would have to be Super 8 tons. Phil, how fat do you think Roseanne is?
I don't know, but she could sit on my lap.
Hey-o.
Why can't you walk? Yeah, who needs legs anyway?
Exactly.
Wheelchairs are sexy.
How did Phil, you not play a Quadfather drop after you just said, who needs legs anyway?
I don't like saying the N-word. Phil,
what's the funniest thing you've ever said?
Toothy cuck.
Phil, what did you think of Super 8?
So again, I don't have much to add. This is one again I saw and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I wasn't so much into. Like after I don't think I watched. I think I did own it on DVD, but again, callback. But yeah, I wasn't like overly huge fan. I don't recall it that much. Don't you see the alien though? Like at the end, I think you do.
You get to see like a brief glimpse
or something. Yeah.
You know, J.J. Abrams was so inspired by Steven Spielberg for this one that he actually also molested the young underage actors behind the scenes and then affected their careers if they opened the mouth. So, you know.
Would you like to tell the audience that's satire? Do you want to use there's a few words you should throw in after a statement like that. This is on the internet.
I love CP.
I don't know if you know this, but Spielberg can afford a lawyer or two. It's my one up. Wow.
Yeah, not based on his recent box office.
I might want to throw the word allegedly in there.
Shuley can afford a lawyer, Steven Spielberg can. Obviously, yeah. What we're trying to say, Husey, is that's alleged what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Of course, he's allegedly making money these days, but Super 8 was such a flop that even after it came out, they had Spielberg attend the fucking MTV Awards that year to do a sketch to try to build up some type of hype, and it didn't work. But speaking of hype, we then had to wait two more years, an entire four-year break between Star Treks for one of the dumbest films ever made, Star Trek Into Darkness. Phil, why don't you give us your opinion on Star Trek Into Darkness?
I don't know. Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, like I had no interest in this. I didn't see the third one either. I'm looking online here. So he didn't write this one. He didn't write either of them, but he directed this one. And then he said, fuck it too. After this one, it was that bad. Is that what I'm gathering?
Well, no, he moves on to his next project after this.
Yeah.
Which is the one that,
but also it was a bomb.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. See, the problem is with Star Trek, and we'll go into my review of it. It doesn't matter who you put in a Star Trek, and it doesn't matter the budget you have on it. You're always going to get the same audience. So as the budgets on the Star Trek films went up and up and up, they were making less and less profit. So it became kind of redundant to try to make another. And this fucking Star Trek one, like, I like it, but it, like, if you tried to show this to a human, they're going to think that it's shit, dude, bro. Like, they would say, like, that whole thing where they kept the top secret that the bad guy was Khan, it's like, well, who cares? It doesn't matter.
So the movie's not good no matter what. And they went to the point of insisting that Benedict Cumberbatch? Cumber snatch, whatever, that Khan. He wasn't playing Khan in the movie because I guess it had leaked out. And so then when you're watching the movie, there's this moment where he's like, my name is Khan. And we're like, yeah, right. We know it didn't hit the way it does. And they're doing that because I think most, you know, nerds and non-nerds alike will point to Star Trek II as being the best Star Trek movie. And, you know, so it's like, well, let's have Khan in this, but it doesn't work. And the thing I wanted to go back to about the first one, and it's relevant to this, is they destroy, as Liam pointed out, they destroy the continuity and the future and everything. But because Star Trek fans are the way they are, they're like, nope, all the continuity that existed is still intact. he went back in time and created this new timeline. So long before people were putting multiverse in the title of their movie, this automatically became a multiverse because they didn't want Star Trek fans to be like, oh, so all the enjoyment we'd had for 50, 60 years went out the window. So they wanted to keep that intact, but then they go and make this movie, which is, I mean, what about Benedict Cumberbatch makes you think that he's this, you know, this specimen from a lab that is the perfect villain, the perfect human, you know, this from the eugenics wars, that he would be British. The fact that it was Ricardo Montalban, that I bought. All right. We should all want to be like Ricardo Montalban and his pectoral muscles.
Yeah, and how are we supposed to know that Benedict Cumberbatch is tough if he doesn't wear his baseball cap backwards, dude, bro?
That's a great point.
I don't even think he has a baseball cap.
Can I break this down for those? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Liam.
You got to turn your chair around and sit on it backwards.
Yeah.
For us.
I'm gonna break this down. There's a cat named Shakespeare, and he was the original rapper. For those of you who might not be nerds, who don't understand what Christian's talking about.
Fair.
The original Star Trek timeline is called the Prime Timeline. And that's the one that we all know from the TV series and original run of movies with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. Now, when J.J. Abrams destroyed that timeline, he created what we call the Kelvin Timeline. So the Kelvin Timeline is actually the timeline that the trilogy of movies exists in. Then there's another timeline with Jeez. Christopher.
Go suck Pike. A dick.
I will say this: it's very interesting that everyone involved was like, "Okay, Khan is clearly the most popular villain in Star Trek history, and saved the franchise after Star Trek: The Motion Picture." So let's just pretend that we hate Khan. Like, let's just
nerd.
Everybody's a fan is gay and hates Khan.
That's fair.
Good.
Sorry. No, I was going to say something about black people. Didn't realize we're live.
I really just felt like George Takei was going to enter the conversation, but it didn't happen. This movie is not good. And just to be sure, I went and saw it a second time, and boy, was it not good. I will say I believe that I don't own this on physical media. I think I have all. I have even the bad Next Generation movies, but I don't have this one.
I got to say, it's the worst Cumberbatch movie ever, and that dude then starred in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I mean. That is it.
That movie wasn't so bad.
It's not bad in the way this is. I'm a Marvel apologist, so I'll stay out of that conversation. But I thought it was all right. It had John Krasinski in it and Patrick Stewart. So, you know, could it have been all bad?
J.J. Abrams then did not return for the next Star Trek film, Star Trek Beyond, or Mission Impossible 4, because he then signed up for 2015's Star Wars The Force Awakens. Now, I was a fucking enormous Star Wars film before this point. So I could not wait to see this film. And I have a horror story of being in the cinema where I almost get into an argument with the father of a blind kid because they were sitting near us and he kept describing the film to his blind kid going, there's a spaceship here, and it's flying up over the thing. And I actually had to say to him, you've got to be fucking joking me. This is a midnight screening. People get these tickets over a month in advance, and you're fucking talking. So I actually moved away because I was going to hit him, and by him I mean the blind kid first.
And Tommy, this character Finn, he's the kind of people that when you smell them, you know to go to the other side of the street and make sure that you walk much quicker.
Just like me, according to Husey.
Well, I'm just saying. Go! But
Tommy,
the thing
is, Finn is what we call an illegal migrant in Ireland.
Yeah, but this film's so fucking dumb in that, Like, first of all, I would have said this thing to that guy, John Boyega, that played Finn. I would say, listen, we're doing a film that's set in space with robots and magic powers and giant dogs or whatever, all this stuff. But the least believable thing about it is your American accent. So why the... And also, the sheer level of fucking... Right, so this guy has been forced on his first day of being a stormtrooper, and we have an evil Sith who's so powerful he was able to stop and hold the laser in midair for a period of time, but later on that day he then can't have a lightsaber fight with this same stormtrooper who's never touched a fucking lightsaber before in his life, but he can hold his own against them, if you know what I mean, dude, bro. I was just sitting watching this film, losing my fucking mind. It's so shit. But we'll let Christian know his rant.
So I think that those of us who are fans of South Park would feel that this is Star Wars member berries. It is also kind of the Dane Cook approach to, like, hey, remember Transformers? They were more than meets the eye. You know, and that would be what passed for comedy in the early 2000s. So this is just like, well, look at this. Remember, look at the fucking Millennium Falcon. We haven't seen the Millennium Falcon in forever. This is so great. And then they get the original cast in there, and you're like, well, it's going to have to be good. So it's not, but it's also like, you know, when you go and see one of your favorite bands, not Oasis, and they only have like one original member, and they're like, we're going to play the songs you like. They're not going to, you know, it's like when Guns N' Roses had Buckethead, and there was nobody except Axl in the band. So this is kind of like, it's like, yeah, but you're still going to hear Welcome to the Jungle. It doesn't matter that it doesn't sound like Slash. So that's why they made this movie, because it's really for dumb people to be like, oh, it's more Star Wars. And it is one of five Star Wars movies where the plot is basically, well, we're going to have to blow up the Death Star, aren't we? And
that's a good idea, though.
They do it again in the ninth one. So it's always what the plan is. It's like, it's the same movie time and time again. So they're playing the greatest hits. You get to see everybody. I don't know. So I remember enjoying it in a purely popcorn kind of way of like, oh, you know, Harrison Ford is back for a while. Oh, is that a spoiler after 10 years? And I don't know. I think that I thought that Daisy Ridley was fine. You know, she doesn't ruin the movie. But what's his name from Girls and the greatest movie ever, Megalopolis? Why can't I think of his name?
Adam Driver.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't even the movie where he has his shirt off. We'll talk about that in a moment. He just less like someone from outer space. Go ahead, Liam. Sorry.
I just want to say Christian's told me the story of how he met his wife and about his kids, and he wasn't near as passionate as he was just now talking about
Star Wars. No, this is Star Wars. That's important. The bullshit you're talking about, nobody cares about it, right?
But we went and saw
Garden State on our first date, all right? What else do you want to know?
Also, it's only 4:45 Eastern time, so Noel might have left Oasis by now. We don't know yet.
That's not funny.
That's definitely not funny. They're playing at the Rose Bowl this weekend. That's not funny.
Yeah, I don't think kindly to jokes like that.
Fuck you!
Hey, how dare you call me Clay Dabbler, you motherfucker. But
it wasn't Rob Stahl.
Here's the thing. I like everyone else our age group, I grew up with the original Star Wars trilogy. I love the original Star Wars trilogy. And then George Lucas made a shitty trilogy. And then that was the point where I was like, I guess I don't love Star Wars that much because, like, he made, like, Star Wars can be bad and I can not enjoy watching it. So when I started watching the J.J. Abrams Star Wars, I was just like, all right, this is Star Wars, you know, and it's like the Star Wars I remember as a kid. And, you know, just like, It filled that like nice little nostalgia thing for me, where it's like, ah, there are my friends Han Solo and Chewbacca, and there's my friend Princess Leia. Oh, here's my friend Luke Skywalker. All my old childhood friends are here. And then the movie ended, and I never watched it again, and I had no feelings about it whatsoever.
What about you, Phil?
Well, I mean, yeah. So sort of what Christian was saying, like they did a good job of kind of reintroducing, like my cope for how shitty the movie was basically was like, hey, listen, they are reintroducing this to people who like sort of the way episodes 1 through 3 were reintroduced for like my generation or whatever. And I always thought those movies ruled episodes 1 through 3, you know.
These are people gonna die.
I mean, yeah, that stuff sucked, but like like for me, I was a kid, so I didn't it was made for me,
you know? Misa, so, Mr. Jar Jar.
I for sure had a shirt with Jar Jar on it at some point in grade 2 or some shit. I don't know.
Don't, right? Don't lie, Phil. You still have a Jar Jar shirt.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, I'm wearing it right now. But
that's actually what the JJ and JJ Abrams stands for.
So I was okay with that, but like the whole trilogy, not to like jump ahead or anything, I really dislike the whole 7 through 9. The worst thing from the trilogy, the last trilogy for me though, actually happens in The Last Jedi. However, I don't know if we're going to talk about that at all. It's just the Leia freezing in space shit. Like I absolutely detest that, but yeah, this in Force Awakens, I liked it. I don't like it as much as other Star Wars stuff. Let's just put it that way in hindsight. And I mean, going after, like coming out of it, I was like, I don't know, this isn't my favorite Star Wars thing, but like maybe they can do something with this. It's reintroducing. It was cope, like I said. And then I progressively hated each movie after that worse. And so, yeah, I mean, that's my take on it.
There's an element, I don't know what else. There's an element, Phil, of fun to this, though, Phil, and comparing it to the prequels is bad. It's unfair to compare it to the original trilogy. It wasn't, I was just like,
can't compare anything to the original trilogy.
Yeah, and except Fast and Furious, Husey, obviously. Right. But
that's an trilogy, whatever. There's actually three trilogies within that one franchise.
But, right. And I know that J.J. Abrams does not direct The Last Jedi, so we can't really spend time on it, but that's the one where it ended. And I was like, oh no, I didn't like that. And I didn't feel that after any of the prequels. I didn't feel that after episode 7. And I don't know that there's a movie that I hate more than that. I've seen worse movies. I saw 4 of them last year, but I detest The Last Jedi. And it was so misguided. They had to bring JJ back for what is currently the final film he's ever directed. And that movie is not good. But he has to kind of take the Etch-a-Sketch and shake away all the bullshit that they did from Rian Johnson in The Last Jedi to try and salvage it. Spoiler alert, it didn't work.
Well,
I think Liam disagrees with me.
Yeah,
I think those two should like be forced to undo each other's Star Wars movies for all eternity. I think they should be forced to keep making Star Wars movies and then just contradict each other as it goes. I want to see 100 movies like that.
Well, that, of course, brings us to the final one we're talking about here. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, which might as well have been called Star Wars Go Fuck Yourself. Christian, you were ranting away there. What was your take of Rise of Skywalker?
That it was at least an attempt to make good the damage of The Last Jedi. Again, it is not good, but I'll tell you what it was at times. Fun. It was occasionally exciting. It might have, it was the action sequences. That's the parts that were fun. And it was interesting. And look, every few years, Ian McDiarmid, the actor, gets a call and is like, hey, you want to play the Emperor again? He's like, really? The character that is died multiple times? Sure. Yeah. Why not? So good for him that he's always ready to take that call. But no, it doesn't end in a way where you're like, oh, I feel like that trilogy, you know, if they knew that JJ was going to have to come in and do an emergency on episode 9, that guy, Colin Trevorrow, was supposed to direct it. And then that falls apart. And then they're like, well, we definitely don't want Rian Johnson to do it. He should have done all three. Then for better or for worse, it would have been his vision. The Rise of Skywalker is not a great movie, but it is not the worst Star Wars movie.
I just want to say, let's not elide over the Colin Trevorrow story, because it is the funniest story in the history of movies, where he was not only going to make his Star Wars movie, he was then going to make a whole Star Wars trilogy after that.
But his so was Rian Johnson, by the way. Rian Johnson was also going to do a trilogy after The Last Jedi. There were a lot of trilogies that were going to happen.
But he made a movie. Wait. Colin Trevorrow made a movie called Book of Henry, which I recommend everyone in this audience, like, turn off the show, go watch Book of Henry, then come back to the show. It is so bad. It makes Kraven the Hunter look like Iron Man 3. Which is not the best Iron Man movie made.
It makes Kraven the Hunter look like Madam Web.
It does. And you know what? Madam Web is a very enjoyable bad movie.
Well, compared to the 2025 War of the Worlds, sure.
Can I tell you something? It's very rare movies so bad that I go like this. Book of Henry is the worst. It destroyed Colin Trevorrow's career, which Steven Spielberg had to resurrect. Like, it took the magic of Spielberg and his CGI crew.
Yeah, well, not really, because he did the last, what was it, Jurassic Park 6, that was such a disaster behind the scenes that Judd Apatow ruined his own career by making a comedy about how bad the making of Jurassic Park was.
Wait, is that what The Bubble was about? Was the making?
Yeah. It was a complete shit show.
Watch that movie, The Bubble.
Really?
The Bubble is based on the making of Jurassic Park 6, and you can tell who's supposed to be who. Like, David Duchovny is clearly playing fucking Jeff Goldblum, and
that's fair.
So anyway, but there is a scene directed by Judd Apatow where his own daughter does a sexy dance. So let's investigate him. Phil, what did you think about Rise of Skywalker?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's a toss-up between this one and Rian Johnson's the second one in this trilogy as which one I hate more. I just want to ask, because, I mean, I got nothing else to add to it. Listen, was Snoke being the emperor or a clone or whatever, was that the move, though? I mean, this is something people talked about a long time ago. We're many years in the future here. I don't know. I guess I'll give it up to Liam and Christian and Husey. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys think that was the move ultimately to like end things on? That's like the end of Star Wars, man. I know we're getting some like prequel stuff and there is some stuff. Is there a new trilogy planned?
They're going to do something with Rey. Daisy Ridley will push the story forward. I don't know anything about being on that. But it's a lot of like revisiting past eras. Like there'll be a Mandalorian movie, but that's set before, it's after Return of the Jedi.
But that stuff's cooler. Like Rogue One rules, you know? I thought that movie was awesome. So like, I'm just asking you guys, is that the move? Was that the move ultimately? Like, we're going to leave it there? Or
if your question is that what the intent was when they made episode 7? No, I think that they just were like, it was kind of, I believe it was fakakta, I think might be the word, was a way to fix that. Correct me if I'm wrong, Liam. I think it was very unsatisfying that you set this up and be like, okay, he's dead now. And it's really like the emperor. So, I don't know. I go ahead, Lee.
I think if you're going to pull a cheeseball ripoff move, you want to announce it on Fortnite before the movie even starts. So that way, when someone like me who doesn't play Fortnite starts watching the movie, I am completely confused from beginning to end. I was like, wait, Palpatine's back? But what happened? Wait, so do people know Palpatine's back? And why is it in the opening crawl? Because that sounds incredibly dramatic, like something I might want to see in a movie that I'm watching about the Star Wars universe. But instead, they just announce it in Fortnite and have him like make a radio broadcast and then assume that everyone who goes to see that movie, which includes people who are in their 70s who loved Star Wars when it first came out, they're just going to know from Fortnite. I'm sorry I keep repeating this Fortnite thing. I was genuinely angry.
That really pisses you off, huh?
I didn't even know that until you just said it. And
yeah, I don't get emotionally engaged by Star Wars content, but as someone who paid almost $20 to watch this fucking movie, I would like to get all the information in the movie that I'm watching.
You should have been on the A-list back then. I don't know what you were thinking.
Well, for me, I remember going to see this because, of course, they come out in December. It was almost Christmas time. Me and a friend went to this place to try out the Christmas pizza, which was fucking disgusting. And I had more fun sitting in the cinema trying not to shit and vomit all over the place than I did watching this pile of shit. That dumb fucking black guy that plays the character Ray, or whatever his name is, Finn. All he does in this film is shout, Ray! Usually he should be saying, Sist, at the end of it, because that's all he does in real life. That fucking pain in the arse cunt.
And if you put a puh at the end of it, that's what women yell at the bar when when they're done talking to Uzi.
Well, you know.
Am I allowed to put my penis in your vagina right now?
What women say when they're at the bar talking to Husey is, oh, this drink tastes very...
Exactly. This Star Wars film is so bad that J.J. Abrams didn't make... Like, he's making a new film now, but it took him all this time to get anything greenlit. He got one TV show greenlit since 2019. It was so bad that even fucking Disney said, I don't know if we're going to make any more Star Wars films for a while. And Disney can't stop sucking the dick of Star Wars. This was a fucking disaster for everybody involved. And I also heard that it was a financial failure despite making over $1 billion. This was a pile of shit. And I would also use that term to describe this episode.
How much of it is his fault, though, and him cleaning up a mess, though, that he, or do you think he fucked up bad on the first one, so then they went away from him, and then they're like, please come save this thing that you already fucked up, or,
I don't know. I think they made a new Star Wars trilogy because Disney got the rights to Star Wars, not because they had an idea and go, fuck, what about this for 1, 2, and 3? They just thought, keep churning them out. Give us a fucking prequel to the first one, even though we don't really need to know.
I mean, the thing is, I know that these two incels here probably have thoughts about Kathleen Kennedy. I'm a Kathleen Kennedy fan, but the idea of... I think she's doing a pretty good job, but the idea that she was like, I'm going to have three different writer-directors come up with their own visions of what Star Wars should be, but also... make them tell a continuous story, but also have them never communicate their story ideas to each other. So they're just picking up and dropping off as they go. It's a terrible idea for a multi-billion dollar generating trilogy. It was destined to not be good.
Yeah, just William is bitch organizing a dinner party. Send out a multi-text, you whore. Right, Christian?
Right. Liam is such a staunch advocate for Kathleen Kennedy. He wrote her a letter to personally thank her for making Star Wars good again with The Acolyte, which I think we can all agree was some of the best television we ever saw. So you're right, Liam. She really turned it around.
No, but I did write her a letter asking if I could intern at Kennedy Marshall. So let's just say I'm a big, big fan of Kathleen Kennedy. I'll leave it at that.
Speaking of excellent TV shows, I have started binge watching Only Murders in the Building, which is surprisingly hilarious. I was not expecting that, which is what I'm going to go run off and do right now with no shirt on because it's weirdly warm over here. Christian, what plugs do you have?
Well, for people watching or listening to this in the next couple days, we have a really big episode of the show that I co-host, Who Are These Broadcasters? We were supposed to do it on Tuesday, but then apparently Howard Stern's cat's wife died, so he didn't come back and answer all the questions we had. So on Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, we will analyze and listen to what Howard says is next for him. Because for some reason, he's made us care over the last month and then not showing up just infuriated us. We've got a couple of guests on the show. I do co-host that show with Eric Zane and a young kid on the come. Mr. Carl Hamburger will be on with us. And Eric Nagel, the sex bagel, will be on with us. So please check that out on the Who Are These Podcasts YouTube channel. And my personal podcast, Blackcast, BladtCast.
You next, Phil.
So if you want to hear me bomb on a comedy talk show about pro wrestling, check me out. I go live every Wednesday and Saturday and Monday at youtube.com/ at Pro Wrestle Clips and at Pro Wrestle Times. And I also have another channel where I review movies and talk about comic books and stuff like that, you know, comic book movies and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, Phil has been on some of the shows that I do about that. We're not so much laughing at the sorcerer, but is that really who that says it is in the chat, in the poor chat?
Karmic X. That's Karmic
X. Is that really Karmic X? Because he says,
dude, your video was so hilarious recently. No, I'm just kidding, bro. You're cool.
He says, Liam, you're right, better than this. You're not better than this, Liam. I mean, what would make Karmic X think that you're too good to be on Uzi's channel?
I mean, I'm not even good enough to get invited on Karmic X's show, so I don't know.
Oh, now you did it. Oh boy! All right.
That's because you haven't sucked Pat Dixon's dick yet. That's the pass to get on that fucking show. Hey, Sorcerer says you look great, Liam. What do you think about that?
I think Sorcerer's very, very generous man. I have been to the gym twice this week, so I'm definitely looking really good. Karmix, yeah, actually, Karmix, I have a special to promote. Let's talk. I have a special coming out in October I'm very tired. Amazon Prime in October. It's called West Coasting. It'll cost you $1.99 to watch it, apparently. And I also just learned it's coming out as an album. Please do not listen to the album. Please only watch the special. And that's all I'll say about that. It only kind of works if you watch it beginning to end. And also, I don't have a podcast quite yet, but I do have a Substack, writeliam.com. And that's write, whether you mean WRITE. Or the kind of alt winger that Husey is when he's talking about black people. Go to writeliam.com and read some of my semi-hilarious ramblings.
Doug, you actually broke out there, but that's okay. I'm going to go watch my show. Kevin Brennan actually was streaming us, so we leave with this one last little shout-out here.
Pissy eyes, Kumia!
And we'd say bye-bye to everybody, and bye, Kevin Brandy. I hope I don't hit you with a copyright strike.
Kisses.
Bye, Kevin.
You bye, Neil Brennan's brother.
Pay me $100, Kevin, for being on your show.
And if you leave me now, you take away the biggest part of me. Ooh, baby, please don't go.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Thank you, Liam. And thank you, Christian. What we're going to do next, as of right now, recording this on a Thursday, the next episode I am recording is on Saturday, which will be with the returning Shuli Igor. It has been quite a while. That should be a good time. There we go. Thank you for listening, everybody. This was a good time, and there will be more. We're going after Paul Thomas Anderson next. So there you go. You're going to get it, and you're going to get it good. And it is Husey. Bye-bye.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.